Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It is well, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Leicester were brilliant and Arsenal showed character. It's Monday, 22nd of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
And I'm Pete Doddleson.
You are very welcome, ladies and gentlemen. What a warm embrace we're offering you now. The kind of embrace we saw John Terry offering Jose Mourinho on the weekend. Did you see that, chaps?
He grabbed his face, didn't he?
He did.
Like he was about to off him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought, if he kisses him on the mouth, you're gone.
Yeah.
See you later.
Nice. Who did the grab? I missed this. Who did the grabbing? Was Jose doing the grabbing?
Oh, Jose's in control.
Oh, okay, fine.
Always manager. Never forget that
always
dynamic.
Manager.
And when John Terry, if John Terry ever became a manager and then beat Jose Mourinho on one of his teams, then that would end the friendship.
Where was John Terry's hands? Where would you put your hands if someone grabbed your face? Would you
right on the nadgers.
Would you just, have
well, look, if he's on control, if he could snap your neck with one fell swoop,
I
would want my body to tighten the grip on the vice-like grip on the hand.
Yeah. You take me down, you're going to get
exactly.
injured. Do you really want this?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Insurance.
He'd just let go, wouldn't he? Or he'd grab tighter.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You're right, Vish. It's a good idea. gentlemen, let us go.
How would you kill John Terry? Text us in.
Don't with a jingle.
Don't give out your number
this
again.
This feature is sponsored by Raynham Steel. Founded in 1973 as Raynham Reusables.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about Raynham Steel before we started. We're in a very Raynham Steel kind of mood today.
Who won the FA Cup in 1973?
Scunthorpe. Sponsored by Raynham Steel.
You're not far off. It was Sunderland.
Oh, sponsored by Raynham Steel?
No, they
You've
weren't.
Been hanging out with Wilson too much, you, Sunshine.
That is genuinely the reason I knew that.
Dragging you astray. the boy from the wrong side of the tracks.
Well, if he grabbed you by the face, would you invert his pyramid?
Expand on that, please.
I don't know. It just sounded like something to say.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I was thinking about other book titles of his, you know, and I thought, no, we're going to talk about the FA Cup because Sunderland have won the FA Cup in history. Leicester City have not, gentlemen. Mm. Okay, so that is on. I mean, it was a brilliant performance to reach the FA Cup semi-final. And Brendan Rodgers was purring in his 100th game in charge of the Foxes. Oh, Vish. They were delicious, weren't they?
Yeah, fine.
I forgot you were a Man United fan, genuinely. I didn't mean to...
But the I was thinking back to on Friday when I said I was quietly confident, and then I mentioned the fact that United might be a little bit tired.
Mm.
And I think even if they were tired, or rather even if they were fully fit, I don't know that it would have made that much of a difference. Because Leicester made them look more tired than they probably actually were. They mm-hmm. were absurdly good, yes. Mm. The Iheanacho, just phenomenal.
Can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, I picked him at the fourth score last week when he scored a hat-trick. Mm-hmm. And I got really excited about that because obviously all the credit was due to me.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have to say anything, and he did that. So well done him.
He gave a little screechy whoop at the end of a very earnest interview on the BBC, Peter.
Mm. And then he went, ow!
Yeah.
I feel good.
And apparently his surname translates to, what are we looking for?
Is that true? Because that's a lot of words to, what are we looking for? Because it's a question. What are we looking for?
Goals.
Iheanacho. It's a long sentence to fit into one name, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm. But it can be done, I assume.
How many players are like a question? That's very, very rare, presumably.
Yes.
March.
Solly March.
March?
Yeah.
I suppose every name is a question.
That could be a command, though, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Alec Guinness.
Paul Scholes.
Oh dear, yeah, well, it was a great performance though nonetheless, and Iheanacho scored again. I mean, the first goal was a bit of a gift.
I think the second one was too. Was it the second one where Maguire just passed it to Fred and everyone blamed Fred, but it was very much Maguire's fault for my money?
That was the first.
Was that the first? Okay,
yes.
Sorry.
Don't take a while. I thought to myself, I think Tielemans needs a bit more credit than, oh, it was a bit of a given the way he strode forward and then hit it really in from 20-odd yards.
Maguire does do that quite a lot, and I've seen him do it in English as well. He invites a lot of pressure on himself and then goes for the foul. It's like, just play the bloody ball, you maniac.
Just get it up the foul. What do you think of that, though, Vish? I mean, the way Maguire, he plays it into Fred, we've seen this a few times. Playing it into that position. I mean, Fred obviously shouldn't then play that.
I mean,
Fred,
you shouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, you've highlighted Maguire there, and I understand, but really the man in the spotlight for that first goal was Fred.
There was some of the discussion in the immediate aftermath of it was like, oh, you know, what's Harry Maguire doing? And I feel like they'll blame him for passing it to Fred.
Harry Maguire's getting a lot of blame, by the way.
Yeah, but it was like, come on, you know he was going to do that.
Yeah.
I feel quite a lot bad, actually, for Manchester United's defence, because if you think about it, United have played with two defensive midfielders all season, and they have been nothing but chaotic.
Yeah.
And I think they're almost like ornamental, you know, display only defensive midfielders. And I was thinking, like, what other ways would there be of like having something that's more effective than these two,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Or than any two? And I remember that, like, when I was younger, your parents maybe did this, but like whenever you used to leave the house, my dad would always put the radio on. And I reckon that's more of a deterrent than our, you know, United.
You mean as a family when you left the house?
Yeah.
I thought when you went out, hey, jump! Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, just to, like, you know, deter burglars. But I reckon if you stuck a radio in front of the back four, that would offer more of a deterrent than any two defensive midfielder combinations.
Defensive midfield has been a problem for Manchester United for a very long time. People kind of forget. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Match has been awful this season.
Get Donny van der Beek and he'll do it.
Oh, poor bastard. It was so him that, like, you know, he did an excellent thing and it wouldn't go down as an assist at all because he let the ball go through his legs, which was nice. And I thought, oh, you know, this is... United coming back into it, obviously Greenwood with a nice finish as well, but it wasn't to be. And to be fair, it was right that it wasn't to be because I thought Leicester were brilliant.
Yeah, very regrettably after Fred's, after Man United lost, he's been subjected to racist abuse on social media. It happens flipping
every weekend,
doesn't it? Yeah.
And I think he has been quite good this season at times. He's played a lot of matches, and he's one of the few sort of Manchester United players who hasn't found himself on the treatment table a huge amount compared to, bearing in mind that that position is quite a robust and frequently violent place to play on the field. And he's I think he's been all right. Matic should have been moved on years ago. I think that, you know, Timothy Fonsi-Mensah, he cleared out because he didn't want to be involved in the whole defensive.
Hear his name.
Look. TFM, today's favourite music, love it.
And I would say as well that even if Fred, Pete's right, Fred has been decent this year in patches, and he's certainly shown himself to be to have the kind of energy that United absolutely need in that area of the pitch. I would also say that even if he'd been absolute rotten for the last 10 years of his career, that some of that stuff is
absolutely
fucking unbelievable. And like, you know, it happens every week, it happens every midweek, and it's gotten to the stage now where. It's not. I don't actually think it's on social media to do anything about it, because if you think about how people, you know, one of the solutions was like getting rid of anonymity on these accounts, stuff like that. And I think it is quite important when you look at how marginal societies use social media that that kind of anonymity is quite important. But I would say that like it wasn't football's problem. Well, you know, it was football's problem, then it was social media's problem, but it's just fundamentally society's problem, isn't it?
Like, of course.
You can use football as a vessel to kind of show these things, and we get players tweeting out their screenshots every couple of days, it seems. But like, football should and could take a lead on this. It can't pretend to be the biggest thing in the country and then for stuff like this be like, oh no, but what can we do? You know, just like Partridge Shrug at all this shit going on. But I mean, typically I don't have a solution.
But I think you're right to say it. Going back to Leicester, if we can, and I'm sorry, Vish, you know, rubbing the salt into the wound. But Youri Tielemann, he's a phenomenal player. We've known this for a while. Do you think that there's suggesting that maybe he's not talked up enough? Because as with a performance like that, the goal like that, and so on, everyone's saying like he just has everything. I mean, I forget who it was who said he's the type of player that he's still only 23. He can just have his pick of the clubs, you know, in a year or two, presuming if he wants to move away from Brendan Rodgers, which would be silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you said, like, oh, you wonder if people are talking about, but I don't think Leicester fans are particularly worried that no one's talking about.
No,
I think they're pretty happy.
I think they've
been sneaking under the radar, yeah. Did you not think he was a bit of a steal when they got him?
I didn't. Well, I think Rodgers really sold the vision and the club and everything to him.
Yeah.
Because, but you're right, because when you think of big sides trying to sign players, you know, Grealish is being linked to left, right, and centre. You know, Jadon Sancho with a move back to England. You know, there's certain players that are never out of the headlines with regards to transfers and so on and so forth. But that central midfield position is so crucial to so many teams,
and he does everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why, you know, in Belgium they can play a 3-4-3 because he's one of the two in the middle. And when you have a player like him, you don't need to have three in the middle half the time because he's so good.
That's depressing, isn't it? A team with De Bruyne, like, oh, thank God we've got him.
But De Bruyne doesn't even play. He plays slightly further.
No, but just like off the back, you said you're totally right. But it's that, like, they have him. It's like, oh, thank God we've got Youri over there.
Yeah.
We'd be a mess without him.
Oh, but he was phenomenal nonetheless. But yeah, great win for them. What did you think of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's comments, Peter, where he lamented Van Gaal's decision to let Johnny Evans go in 2015? This was before the match, and admitted that Manchester United still have feelings for Johnny Evans.
Yeah, I mean, he was quite kind of outspoken, but also he was quite wistful at the same time. He was he was strong, but kind of a bit sad.
Yeah. Would you, if you were Maguire and you heard that, you'd be like, you've got me. Just, you have feelings for me, don't you?
Do you have feelings?
Or is this just physical?
It's just different. It's just different.
I know. Well, but Johnny Evans has been remarkable since he's left Manchester United, because if you think about some of the other centre-halves that were, or the other defenders they had that were mentioned in the sort of similar breath, you think, say, Wes Brown, John O'Shea, Mikel Silvestre, you know, those players who were seen as, you know.
What have you mentioned Silvestre in there?
Well, actually, he went on and played for Arsenal. Yeah, you're right. I'll take that. But one or two who were decent players, absolutely no doubt about that. They played their part. West Brown, you know, an assist in a Champions League final, if I remember correctly. You know, so they would play top end. But when they left Manchester United, it was very much
I don't have to play with Cleberson anymore. don't have to play behind Fellaini.
Yes, the pressure's off. Let's all go to Sunderland, where, you know, we'll try and win the FA Cup again. And it didn't happen. But with Johnny Evans, though, he's
just so annoyed Cleberson got mentioned. He's spitting.
but he has had an amazing sort of last sort of few years and has been a big part of this Leicester City side who have been impressive.
Well, Manchester United, I think when he went, if the narrative was that, you know, he did kind of need to go, he wasn't gonna make the grade. Hmm. And I think like 2 or 3 years later, when Manchester City tried to sign him,
yeah,
I think there was a few people at Old Trafford like, oh, for fuck's sake,
let him go.
Sign him and let him lift the trophy. That's what they're going to do. Yeah, it's I mean, to be fair, I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy for Leicester. I was trying to work out on the weekend that you know, often when you get knocked out in cup competitions this late stage, you don't necessarily root for the team that biffed you. But I looked at that draw and I thought, well, I think it'd be great if they could do it, Leicester.
Yeah. Well, obviously, they're in the draw. You know, they've got Southampton in the semi-final.
Luke will love that, for Leicester to win.
Absolutely, yeah, he'll certainly be. And then Manchester City will play Chelsea. And you would say, of course, on league position, form, everything, quality, that Leicester City, no disrespect to Southampton, but they'll be pleased that they'll be hoping that Chelsea beat Manchester City. And I think there would have been a lot of the team still left in the cup when Everton were playing Manchester City, saying, come on, do us a solid here. But Southampton, though, an impressive win, obviously against Championship opposition, but still it was impressive because Nathan Redmond was running around like Lionel Messi during the game. I tell you what, was Pep Guardiola in the crowd or something? He was played like a man possessed. He was absolutely glorious.
After his recent performances, I don't think he should be starting any football matches. But obviously, you know, Ings and other players, they've got a lot of injuries. And Southampton scored quite light at times, I think it's fair to say. And I think they could do with some reinforcements in the summer. But yeah, I think, he had a hell of a game, didn't he? Ridiculous.
It was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. And Southampton, it was a fairly easy game. They still haven't conceded a goal in the FA Cup this season, Southampton.
That's impressive, is it? I don't even know anymore.
What do you mean,
played?
Is it?
Who have they played?
I don't think it's that impressive,
isn't it?
It's a cup competition, after all. If you're letting in goals, you find yourself out of it.
Let me
bang.
let me put it this way.
Welcome to Pete's TED Talk.
Thank you.
On the weekend, Manchester United conceded 3 more FA Cup goals than Southampton have in their entire campaign this season.
Are you happy with that?
I'm extremely happy with that.
You're doing this to me on a Monday. Well, the rest of the week ahead of me.
I could do this all day, baby. Well, I'm impressed, Southampton, for crying out loud. Well done. It's never easy beating one of your South Coast rivals, of course.
They didn't really sort of first half, they didn't really do anything in their opponent's box as well.
But
they were quite clinical when they needed to be. So
And then another clean sheet, PC. You know, that goes with clean sheets with Shrewsbury. Arsenal. Wolves. Is that impressive for you? You on board? Right, up yours. Manchester City, they kept a clean sheet against Everton, of course. They were left to wait a bit. Everton had them going for a bit. Which are extraordinary comments, I'd say, from Carlo Ancelotti about Manchester City. Facing Manchester City is like facing Lionel Messi or Nathan Redmond. I may have added that last bit. When I was at Real Madrid and facing Barcelona, I didn't talk about Messi a lot to my players, so they didn't get scared. This is why I try not to talk about Manchester City. Does he hide who they've got in the next? Who have we got in the next round? Don't worry about it.
Difficult, difficult when it's an entire team.
Yeah, you can't hide an entire team.
Uh-huh.
No.
Maybe he could do what? Do you remember what Dream Team used to do, where they'd like slightly change like the colour of like an actual football match, so they would like make it purple. Did he like do that to, I don't know, who's been like Fulham? Sorry.
Yeah.
Did he like turn a blue tinge to Fulham skin? Like, look, we were playing them on the weekend.
Yeah, maybe.
Be fine.
And they'll be like, oh, but they beat us 2-0 as well at Goodison Park.
Yeah, Everton, don't give them. It doesn't. You don't know what effect that will have on the squad, do you, I suppose?
Yeah. You know, even Newcastle, they beat them 2-0 at Goodison Park. If you don't win 2-0 at Goodison Park this season, what are you playing at, quite frankly?
Shouldn't be allowed in the league.
My goodness. But they're out the cup. Manchester City stride on the quadruple. Is it the quadruple that they're going for? It is, isn't it? In the final of the League Cup, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is on. It could be Pep Guardiola's greatest
ever season.
Nobody
saw it coming.
At Man City. Or they could win like they did last time when they won. They were on for the quadruple and they ended up winning the league and the League Cup. and it felt like a bit of a damp squib.
Yeah.
A second tier tribble. Yeah. Tribble? Tribble?
Like, yeah, if you went to see NSYNC and it was only Joey Fatone.
Is he the big guy with the big chin? He's a heavier set guy, isn't
he's
he?
He's the one they'd always deliberately call Joey Fat One. Yeah.
Right,
I love it. Yeah. The heavier set one, the fat one.
He's being diplomatic.
But
that was his mean nickname. I didn't call him that.
You just said it.
Yeah, that's how disparagers refer to him.
Disparagers. Yeah.
Who are the disparagers? I'm going to see them.
Boys.
Well, Manchester City, They've earned themselves. Well, they won't do because they'll be on international duty. But Pep Guardiola is rewarding himself with a little break. In this next 4 or 5 days, I will not think about football or watch games. What on earth is he going to do?
American Psycho, some shit. Isn't
do you
it?
Think, Pete? Yeah. What do you reckon?
Just stare at the wall for a bit, I suppose.
Uh huh.
That's all I got.
But Chelsea beat Sheffield United 2-0. Wasn't the easiest of rides, though, was it, Vatushin? Because Sheffield United had a few efforts at goal. David McGoldrick was the main offender.
Oh, but they Sheffield United do this, don't they?
I feel
like,
sorry.
Oh,
for
you know they'll be fine, and then they're not fine.
No,
I feel really bad for McGoldrick here. I really like him. He does all the other stuff really well.
I know.
And then you put him in front of goal, and he clears it.
When he got up and I just thought, yeah, I know the feeling, my friend. Just that when I've missed chances like that, it's not been in front of a television audience.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But the big takeaway was a clean sheet for Kepa.
Peter, all back about on clean the sheets today, aren't you?
Yeah. Very, very clean.
Very unlike you.
Uh-huh. I see.
Is you eat in bed?
You two are misbehaving today. Okay, you've thrown down the gauntlet and I'm going to pick it up again. It was a clean sheet for Kepa, which is pleasing. It's more of a dig at Luke, really. How he really hates him. Mendy misses the international break with Senegal because of a tooth operation he's going to have.
How big's the tooth operation?
I don't know.
How big's the tooth?
But Thomas Tuchel said that he simply needs to see the dentist.
Is this a kind of escape to victory style thing? Where, you know, loads of teams don't want their players to go away because of the quarantining and they mm-hmm. might not be available when they come back. Have they just like knocked out his front teeth? Like, you're not going, Biff. Got to see the dentist now.
It'd be a strange strategy, wouldn't it?
It'd be an effective one, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe we have to put that in contracts now. If somebody deliberately knocks my teeth out, I can get a move away in the January window. No biffing, everybody, crying out loud. But yeah, so that's the draw. Who do you fancy at this semi-final stage, Peter? Chelsea, Manchester City on one side of the draw, Leicester, Southampton on the other. The winner doesn't take all because they go into the final, and then the winner will take everything.
I reckon the favourite's probably Manchester City because they seem to be taking all of their competitions very seriously.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about the fact. I'm talking about who do you fancy for it?
Manchester City, because they seem to take these competitions very seriously.
I see. Vish, do you have anything else?
I mean, there are teams that I would like to win it.
Leicester smell destiny.
Yeah. I mean,
which is Brendan
Rodgers'
aftershave.
That would be really good, but Man City are crusher of dreams now, aren't they? No one can have any fun because Manchester City are deciding to take, as Pete said, everything seriously.
But do you not think, though, that the draw they wouldn't, the side who could maybe do something is Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea? Because of the way they sort of play, they love a 1-0 win. They'll try and soak it up very, very tight defensively.
It's quite, yeah, I mean, I think
there's something there. I think if Chelsea can overcome Manchester City, it would be huge, of course, because the way Manchester City have been this season, as you say, is rightly so. And also, I quite like Chelsea to get to the final because will Tuchel wear a suit or will he wear full kind of, you know, bright blue Chelsea tracksuit?
I reckon he is.
See what I mean?
Yeah, but I reckon he's, you know, what we've seen from him in the league and I suppose abroad as well, he is absolutely as weird as Guardiola. So right. He might wear one of those suits with the Chelsea badge embroidered at the back like Guardiola did. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mind you, will Guardiola wear that hoodie if they get to the final, you see? These are the questions, ladies and gentlemen, that only the effort...
That's are you suggesting a dress-down semi-final?
That's the magic of the cup, is what I'm saying.
Smart, casual semis.
Well, because Guardiola, he loves that hoodie, doesn't he? Which is a charity in Catalonia, I think, something like that. And Tuchel, obviously, yeah. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ponder more on that during the break, and then after which we're going to talk about the Premier League. See you in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Wrestle Me, Mark Haynes has been telling me about the world's tiniest man.
Like, you wouldn't remember that guy coming in.
Flobbing in.
Like,
a big pancake.
A massive sort of soft biscuit. Are you sure he's 6 inches? Do you remember him?
Do I remember him?
Do I? Right, then he isn't 6 inches.
He's got a very unique body.
You can also join me on the Luke and Pete Show, where me and Luke have been trying to come up with excuses for our poor hairstyle choices.
Now, more than any other era of my life, I care less and less about what other people think.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think we're at the time of life where we've probably got more disposable income than we had 10 years ago, and we don't give a shit about what anybody thinks, and that's how midlife crises begin. I buy this stupid thing. I've got a scooter now. I'm wearing a ponytail.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hi, I'm Frank LeBeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble.
Here he is, Frankie the
Frank
Beef.
Frank the Beef.
Go on, big boy. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, let's have a Betway 4-to-score update. How did we get on this weekend? Entry to Betway's 4-to-score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selective matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Ooh, we didn't win it. You'll be unsurprised to know. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply in game one. It was Chelsea versus Sheffield United in the FA Cup. I picked Timo Werner. I don't think he even started the game.
Matter of fact,
got that one wrong. Mm. The result was Hakim Ziyech, because Norwood's own goal doesn't count. Should make that clear. In game two, West Ham against Arsenal, Vish picked Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. It was Jesse Lingard, of course.
Not only did Aubameyang not score, but he got taken off when Arsenal were looking to score, yeah. and it helped them.
That's a player in form, isn't it?
In game three, Leicester versus Manchester United in the FA Cup, Jim picked Bruno Fernandes. It was, of course, Kelechi Iheanacho. And in game four, Aston Villa versus Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League, Luke picked Ollie Watkins. It was Vinicius. We will be back with another round of Betway's 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails. And what have we got today for the jingle? Wow. I tell you what, a touch of friendly fires.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Is it Jack Johnson? Not Jack Johnson. Who am I thinking of? Just Jack. Just Jack.
Why are you going to put an email in my box?
Yeah.
I liked
everything about that. It was playful. It was informative. I think it was a Zoom G1X pedal effect on the guitar. I love it.
And we're now all wearing Hawaiian shirts, wishing for a holiday abroad, which won't come. But still.
I don't like what Marcus is doing there, Pete.
What?
Because
Oh, sorry, I'll put my clothes back on.
Hands off that.
I was there in the first pre-show meeting when Marcus and Luke floated the idea of getting rid of your jingle.
Right, okay. Oh, so it was a pre-show. So it wasn't like a spur of the moment.
Hang on. What's up, mate? What?
Ramble.com. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Why do you want to go there?
Come on. Oh, yes. Where are you going on holiday? Come on.
So it was the men I've known
and
for 12
anyway,
years who did it to me.
There we go.
Stabbed me in the back.
There we go. You've got the first email.
It was like a parish hall meeting.
None of this happened.
It's putch. Disgusting. Right. Matty Rainbow. Matty Rainbow. I don't want to go there. Who wants to bring our attention to another vomiting footballer? I only got into football when I was about 10 years old in the run-up to the 2006 World Cup. The tournament's standout match for me was England's win against Ecuador. I missed Beckham's goal somehow, but distinctly remember seeing him throwing up on the pitch. I'm pretty sure they showed more slow-motion replays of this than they did of the actual free kick. I forgot about the vomiting.
Yeah, I think someone did mention that in a previous email about Beckham. It was a very casual mention, and I was thinking to myself, which game was it?
So we've had Zidane, Messi, and our man Debex.
And Louis, what's his name? Louis Tomlinson? One Direction.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right, okay. That vomit was only going in one.
Exactly. Matty Rainbow. Is he related to Tiggy Rainbow? That's the
hopefully.
Big question. Hopefully. Enjoyable. Footballers vomiting. Who on earth thought that would become something? Vish, you've got an email as well.
I do, from the wonderfully named Mac McKissick.
Mm. I want a kiss sick!
He wants to kiss sick. Well, you've come
sick,
to the right
place. Yeah, exactly. He's got sick in his name.
Yeah.
And kiss, which is, perfect.
That's what we're all about.
On sick, the mat.
Sick and kiss. Yeah.
I've kissed sick on the mat. After a Mackey D's.
Nugs on rugs. Go on, Vish.
Yeah. So this is following up on the chat about people's voices and faces not matching up. I'm a fairly new listener, but it was about a year before I did a proper social media dive to find out what all of you look like. Oh, no.
Oh, damn.
You should never do that.
Yeah.
Horny on men.
Most were not too surprising, but I must admit Pete was a bit of a shock. I'm not from the UK, but his accent is very different from most people I've heard. And often the way he pronounces words sounds like he's just made them up. To be fair, you do that.
Yeah.
So naturally, I assumed he was a 75-year-old man. Something reminiscent of the lad who used to do the Six Flags commercials. Much to my surprise, he was not. But the image is endearing. So from time to time, I imagine he's still Luke's crazy old grandfather that makes a regular appearance on the show. See, that makes sense, because you do give Luke Weathers originals, don't you?
I do, yeah, and endorse my theme park. Pete Flags.
Lovely. Mm. Well, that was the emails. What an email section. We had that wonderful jingle from Chris Rogers.
Let's have it again, Chris Rogers.
What, a third time? There it is again. Come on.
And is that live drums? Sounds like live drums, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not played.
I'm impressed what people can conjure up where we're in a time of lockdown. And, I want to know what goes on in Chris Rogers' bedroom if he produces this.
Oh, yeah. Lockdown's been tough.
Good old
Chris Rogers.
Chris Roger. Sorry, forgive me.
Sorry.
Chris Roger. Sorry, Chrissy baby. Right, show at footballramble.com unless you didn't hear it. Righto, let's go to the Premier League. One of the matches of the season, West Ham 3, Arsenal 3. My goodness, Peter. It was a crazy game.
Can you score too early? Three times.
Is 3-0 the new 2-0? Very dangerous scoreline. In fact, should you even put that third one away?
Yeah, what? Because it brings them on too much.
Well, I always think if you go 1-0 up, then do not score again, because 2-0 is the most dangerous scoreline. And if we follow that through, if it's more dangerous than 1-0, then 3-0 is more dangerous than 2-0.
Mm.
Whatever you do. England are playing San Marino soon. You know, they'll try and... Just go for the 1-0, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Leicester looked terrified when they were 9-0 up against Southampton, weren't they?
That's why they kept... We just have to keep scoring, otherwise they're going to come back. But it was a great game, though.
It was good. Fun. Yeah. Fun.
I mean, Jay Ling's for England. England, as Jim put on the WhatsApp group.
Sneaky little early free kicks. Enjoy your ball.
I mean, he's showing power and panache with that sort of type of finishing, mm-hmm. intelligence with that sort of assist for the goal. There's nothing he can't do, Peter.
It's relative intelligence, isn't it? Because if the team you're playing against are so stupid that none of them are looking at the ball. It's like, do you remember Goosebumps? Did you ever used to read Goosebumps?
No.
Oh, was it? Were they the skeletons? Or,
they're like the spooky child's books.
Yeah.
Oh, like in a dark, dark place. There's a dark, dark.
No,
like
that's one. The skeletons, isn't it?
Oh,
that's
okay.
The three skeletons or something.
Right, I think the Goosebumps, it was around about the same time. I remember there was a book called Peter the Clever Potato, which I very much enjoyed because it had my name in it. It had the Goosebumps books that seemed a bit like polished, a bit too like spooky ghosts and stuff. Uh-huh. But then the skeletons were my... You know, skeleton dog, skeleton. Skeleton dog's probably going, fuck.
Why
bones.
Was he a clever potato? Did he evade the pot?
I don't know. I don't know. I just remember it being very good.
Okay.
So there you go. And the Stinky Cheese Man. Great kids' books, guys.
Yeah. But there was a Goosebumps book where this guy gets three wishes and he wishes to be the cleverest person at school. And so everyone else gets stupid. And that felt a lot like that Arsenal defence. Yeah.
Three wishes, dangerous scoreline.
Yeah. I'll have a goal, another goal, and another goal. Should have just chosen 3 points, shouldn't you? Yeah. That's what they should have done. But yes, it was. I mean, they looked very, very good, West Ham. And then, of course, Arsenal showed a bit of character, as I said, to come back. Very pleasing for Arsenal, really, in that they showed that character. Because as so many people said, oh, well, you know, 10 minutes ago, they'd have lost that 4-1 or 4-0 or something like that. Arteta talked about Arsenal show being a bit two-faced. That kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yes.
Lovely.
This is a very spurned lovers weekend for Manchester.
Yeah.
It
was a bit, miss you, man.
He said the match will give him nightmares.
This that
back to your Goosebumps, isn't it?
Well, that quote is great. This game's going to give me a few nightmares because it's really difficult to stop some of the things we have been doing to hurt ourselves. Mm. I don't think I've identified with a quote from a manager since Jose's, if I speak, I'll be in big trouble, and I don't want to be in trouble.
Yeah, I know what you mean. From West Ham's point of view, I mean, obviously racing, they should have won the game. We were 3-0 up, and then of course Antonio has that chance at 3-2, which comes off the post. Did you notice that when... Because I thought he'd scored initially, and then, of course, it was given to Souček. When they kind of went over to celebrate with him, he just looked like, no, it's his goal. He just seemed a bit unbothered. I was like, you must be happy that your team's got three goals now.
Yeah, his reaction made me think that it was an own goal.
Yeah.
And then but it went to his teammate, and he was like, oh, fuck it, it's him. Yeah. I wonder if him and Souček have a little thing going on.
Maybe, but it was as if it was like the eighth of a sort of a 9-0 win or something in the last minute. Well, obviously we're 3-0 up against Arsenal now. This is just a bit easy.
Yeah, he was probably regretting that by the end.
Yeah, Declan Rice nearly scored the goal of the season, Peter.
He did, yes.
It was a Sol Campbell-esque run. He could have, he probably should have, on the balance of it, slipped it through to Antonio if he could have gone. But then I was thinking, no, you don't do dare pass that.
I didn't see a space for him to do that.
Well, maybe I'm being a bit harsh. Because he had a decent effort on goal.
Football deserves this. At a time where everyone's a little bit knackered and the quality's kind of dipped a little bit. We need these.
Well, we do. Mm. I mean, we appreciate it. Like, Pulisic had a lovely bit of footwork at one point. That would have been a shame he didn't put that one away. But yeah, Rice, the way he just teared open the sort of the Arsenal on the edge of his box and ran. And I thought, oh, European Championships.
Oh, you like it? You don't like when Maguire does it now? Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. No, I think Maguire... What do you mean?
Everyone just surging from the back. That's what you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, all our strikers are injured. Yeah.
Woo! Imagine that. Like, everyone's just breaking from the back. Declan Rice is fucking the Charles the Light Brigade. And you just look at, no, not you, Harry. Stay.
Yeah. Someone
bad,
else.
Harry.
Get Kane to drop deep.
They go, you sit.
Exactly. Pickford, what are you doing? He's getting the rave on. He's getting involved. Where are we talking about? Oh, yes. Did you see Alex Lacazette? He said that the players...
Alex Lacazette.
Yeah, we're not on those...
No, I like that. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that, yeah.
Big Lacker said the players didn't respect Arteta's plans.
Ooh. What's that about?
Exactly, yeah. Arteta's punishment for Aubameyang, by the way, for that being when he turned up late for the North London Derby, David Moyes says, where do you think he learned that from?
What?
Where did he learn that from?
From David Moyes.
What?
Oh, that he fined people.
Well, he must have done it. Everton.
I mean, that's not revolutionary, is
no.
it?
No, I mean, that's pretty standard stuff,
yeah,
isn't
you
it?
Think it's you, know what, you know what I do? I punish people for bad timekeeping.
Financially.
You don't, do you?
Yeah, but do you not think, though, that David Moyes is often reluctant to enjoy success?
Right.
That's not success.
Yeah, but to him, that's what he thinks is it.
He thinks that's success.
Well, when they won the other week...
We didn't win the game, but he fined one of his own players, didn't he? I taught him that.
But that's what I think, you know, when they sort of said... Don't
he slapped his kids about. I taught him that.
when he said the other week when they won,
don't slap me, kids.
Would you shut up? When he said, I'm probably slapping you. When he said, when we were talking about the victory the other week, he was like, well, I was a bit annoyed. You know, they seemed a bit disappointed with the sort of the manner in which they won the game. And you think, David, enjoy yourself. Whereas with this one, where do you think you learned that from? that's what he's celebrating that.
The ferryman's playbook.
Yeah, but going back to Arsenal, Martin Odegaard, what a classy operator he is. I remember you not that long ago, of course, when you know Real Madrid signed him when he was, 3 years old or something. You thought, oh, blind, we know where this is going to go. And of course, he wasn't getting the side and then he was loaned out here, there and everywhere. But it's great to see him. He's playing in the Premier League for Arsenal. He's doing very, very well. He's putting in performances and Arsenal apparently want to sign him on a permanent deal. You can't blame them.
Yeah, although it could end up being very Arsenal because I don't think they haven't got an agreed like fee or like a buying clause at the end of this contract.
Like Lingard, really? Well, it's like you're going back to where you came from.
I should say with the release clause of 350 million euros.
But that, I think that's on his Real contract, isn't it? Rather than like you know they haven't got a loan with a view to a further deal. It's just simply
that,
a loan.
That would be a weird if you signed a 350 million pound release clause that was already in your contract for Real. Well, no, we've got an agreement to sign. Yeah, you got to pay 350 million for it, mate. You madman.
But I was thinking about it yesterday because obviously, you know, he's doing brilliant and he's exactly what they need because you saw when West Ham were like just camped on their, you know, in front of their area. It wasn't that he was never trying to go around them. He was trying to go through them, which is why Callum Chambers, by the way, where's that come from? Yeah. Do we have like, is there like a Captain America serum, but only for English right backs?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's just an embarrassment of riches at fullback.
But sorry, just on Odegaard, I wonder if they're going to be in a situation now where he's playing so well that other clubs are going to be interested and just think, well, we'll take him. Yeah. Or even Real Madrid were like, oh, he's good now, we'll have him back.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's it. Wow, he's like a little globetrotter, isn't he?
Well, I like the fact, I wonder what the dynamic is if you are from a massive club like Real Madrid and a player who had so much promise and but possibly hasn't had as many games under the manager as you might expect. Mm-hmm. When I was watching, because obviously there's no crowd, you can hear people go, mine, mine, mine. And I'm like going, shout at my place for Real Madrid. How dare you? How dare you?
Mr. Odegaard.
Mr. Odegaard, please. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the other end of the Premier League table. Brighton beat Newcastle United 3-0.
Oh, it looks like the other end as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, not quite the other end. They're not in the relegation zone.
Not in the relegation zone.
Brucey's still doing all right job.
Brucey's doing a good job, isn't he?
Do Newcastle fans need to get realistic, Peter? Because that's what Paul Merson said.
Yeah, just find another club.
get realistic. It's an absolute shite show. Go and support Sunderland. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty dull, isn't it? It's pretty awful. I had my COVID jab the day before and I was feeling it the next day. And I just got absolutely wankered watching this match. I was like, there's nothing going to make me feel better. Yeah. Newcastle are on the box. I'm going to drink a bottle of Prosecco. And I was done for the whole... I forgot to be angry that he didn't bring on any strikers. He didn't bring on Carroll or Gale, which is hilarious.
Why would you need that?
It's just so funny.
Keep the scoreline down to 3.
Dangerous lead, though, isn't it? He's on the right track.
Depends. Don't worry, lads. When they get to 3, we'll get them. Mike Ashley is apparently standing by Steve Bruce. Newcastle fans did express their frustration with banners outside St James's Park with the words, "You are not one of us, leave now." And another one just simply said, "Coward." I mean, that is a bit harsh.
Is it?
All right. it was only Brighton's second Premier League home win of the season, so a great win for them. Very, very needed indeed, of course.
If Fulham can get over that those points at Newcastle, are down. Yes. But Fulham have to get their 3 points.
Well, they need to. Yeah, it's
they have to get out of the relegation zone to
Scott
pull
Parker
Newcastle
has a hunting
in.
Rifle, and Steve Bruce is clambering around and he's falling over, and it's like, just shoot him. Shoot him! All right? And if you can
you've
get him,
nine
you're all right.
Yeah.
And Scott Parker's not in for this.
Scott Parker's too nice to shoot him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What if I talk to him? No, just shoot him.
Yeah. Shoot next time and scare him off. Shoot that can.
That's that, yeah, okay. We need 9 draws. That's what we need. Oh, my goodness.
The worst thing about that game on Saturday night was that you.
It ruined the night, didn't it?
Yeah,
I could have been playing Cyberpunk.
I was going to say it was. I know it's lockdown, but it's still Saturday night.
I know.
We still have a day.
Have a bit of respect.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
On.
A little bit of a buzz from Saturday night.
But like, if you watch that game out of context, you would not say that only a point separated those two teams.
Yeah,
it was jarring.
I mean, it's astonishing.
All to play for.
Yeah. It's funny. It's gone past shite, and now it's just funny. Yeah. Bring it on.
When Ryan Fraser hit the post with that lovely effort, yeah. I think it would have been 1-1.
Yeah.
The camera panned to Steve Bruce, and he had his head in his hands, and he had a face that said to me, "That's the end we'll get. That's done. We've missed our chance. Yeah,
as
if like, oh, we played all the way for him for someone to curl it in from out wide,
it's like,
25 yards.
That was one of our best ones as well. Oh dear, gentlemen, let us go north of the border. The Old Firm played each other. It finished 1-1. Alfredo Morelos finally got himself a goal against Celtic. I did find it rather amusing in the post match when Scott Brown was talking and he went, "Yeah, obviously disappointed. Should have had a penalty." Which there was a bit of discussion, but Coist on commentary certainly thought they shouldn't. And then he said, and then the ball came over, and whoever it was at the back post scoring. And I thought, he just can't mention him. He cannot mention him. But
brilliant.
Credit to Scott Brown.
Yeah.
Credit where credit is due, because, you know, going over to Glenn Kamara before the game was a nice gesture. Mm. And saying, you know, even in the post-match as well, saying we're united with Glenn Kamara on this, who was a victim of alleged racial abuse, of course, from Slavia Prague player Andre Cadella last Thursday. We spoke about that a little bit. And there has been, I mean, was it Goulton, was it, who was interviewed on Sky Sports?
Yeah.
You know, do check out that interview because, again, don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but one can sort of see a lot of gestures and maybe think, oh, okay, I think we've gained some ground here, or I think, you know, maybe things are a bit better. But when you hear the words that he and some of the Rangers players are saying, this is still plaguing the game.
I think what Vish said earlier, it isn't about social media at this point. Social media has a part to play, but it's very much, you know, it's a side.
But this is not, and this is not a social media issue. This is player allegedly going up to another player, and saying something.
The players have talked about how they've been abused for a lot of the season.
Players
have been abused for a lot of the season, and it is just. I think somebody sort of made the point, and I forget who it was. So apologies. They sort of said that football has become a lot more personal recently.
Mm.
I don't know what it is about sort of keyboard warriors and people offline as well. They sort of take footballers playing poorly in their eyes way more personally than they ever did back in the day.
Yeah.
The team didn't play well. Nowadays, it's that player really let me down. And then from that, coupled with your fucking dad's culture war, you're not allowed to say this, you're not allowed to say that. They think that, what's really going to hurt that player who's really let me down?
But this is,
I'm going to say this fucking...
But this example is, I would say, not to rank these things, but worse, because this is a fellow professional.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Who is alleged to have said something, and I keep using that word, but I mean...
But that's an easier job. That's an easier job to sort, I would argue, surely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we
that's
hope...
one player saying one thing to another player.
Exactly, yeah.
And I want to add that with the Scott Brown thing, the fact that it was on, the fact that the camera was able to catch it perfectly. You know, obviously there were a few people who said he was doing it for the cameras. I think we need to normalize that kind of acceptance that it doesn't just, you know, racist abuse doesn't just affect the person who's being abused.
Absolutely.
It affects everyone, totally. And it's on everyone to try and sort it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
you can do that over text message if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do it in front of the cameras is the whole point of doing it.
Yeah, you could do it over text. You could do it over Twitter. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. What a heartfelt gesture.
But that's the thing. You know, it was before the match, you know, and even after he said as well, you know, this is the Old Firm. If Rangers and Celtic, you know.
And that's the other thing about it as well. Pete was spot on there when he touched on about the way football seems more personal, and it's so much seems so much more tribal than ever before. Maybe because we get it on so many different fronts now. But for a Celtic player to go over to a Rangers player and do that was quite profound. And yeah, good on Scott Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but Gerrard will be relieved to get a point because they're still unbeaten though. Going back to the football, because Celtic were probably the better side. Yeah, interesting. What's going on there between those two? But yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Just quickly before we finish the show, we've got to mention goalkeepers scoring. Sevilla goalkeeper Bono bagged a 94th minute equaliser against Real Valladolid, which is just beautiful. Beautiful. We love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Asteris Tripolis. Tripolis keeper, he got a 96th minute equaliser against Panathinaikos, and that was a lovely finish.
It was stroked. I mean, he had a bit of time to do it, but the keeper was not, his opposing number was not serving that. And then obviously he jogs back, runs back to his own. I don't think there was going to be much football played in the 96th minute of of 4 minutes of injury time played, but he went down injured.
As if was he time wise? Was he thinking, I have to make sure this is the last goal of the game?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Because he might remember.
So, like, well, bring himself off and get replaced by his understudy or what?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking there. Maybe he was genuinely injured. We can't rule that out.
Worth checking out, though. It's a lovely goal.
It is, yeah. Elsewhere, Lionel Messi broke Xavi's record. 767 appearances for Barcelona yesterday. Broke the record for the most goals in a single European league with a brace. He's obviously heard Ronaldo's breaking records. He's like, right, I've got to keep up appearances here. Whereas, of course...
Did he get a big shirt with a number on or not?
Well, Ronaldo did, because Andrea Agnelli presented Ronaldo with a shirt with 770 on the back and GOAT across the top prior to their game yesterday. That was, of course, the 770 we spoke about the other week.
Can you imagine, like, being in a farmer's field right now? The GOATs must be fucking... like beside themselves.
I know, yeah.
Like egotists.
I don't think word has reached them.
And I think that's the only thing. That's the only thing they had over sheep.
Yeah.
Just being
called
a different name.
That's true. That's true. Juventus then lost 1-0 to Benevento. So up yours.
That's a real quiz, though.
Yeah.
Got a shirt.
If you're that good, you would have beaten them.
It's almost like he's a sideshow, isn't it? But let's not get into that.
I tell you what, more good news, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a brand new episode of Ramble Meets out today, and it's a double header, special double header, with Michael Essien and Johan Giroux. They tell our very own Andy Brassel about their upbringings in Ghana and Switzerland and what they both learnt under Jose Mourinho and Arsene Wenger. Get over to Football Ramble Presents. It's a cracking listen. You won't be disappointed, you beauties. There we are. We've reached the end of the show, everybody. It's been a marvellous Monday having you with us.
Sponsored by Raynham Steel.
Any old iron. Any old On tomorrow's show, it's myself, Andy and Jim. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait for it, personally. But today's been a real treat, gentlemen. Thank you very much for Tushin Hantaraja.
Thank you very much, Raynham Steel.
Thank you very much, Peter Donald.
I'd also like to thank Raynham Steel.
And thank you very much, everybody. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.